a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. On a Sabbath day, Jesus had gone for a meal to the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and they watched him closely. He then told the guests a parable because he had noticed how they picked the places of honor. He said, "When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take your place in the place of honor. A more distinguished person than you may have been invited, and the person who invited you both may come and say, 'Give up your place to this man.' And then, to your embarrassment, you would have to go and take the lowest place. No, when you are a guest, make your way to the lowest place and sit there, so that when your host comes, he may say, 'My friend, move up higher.' In that way, everyone with you at table will see you honored. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the man who humbles himself will be exalted." Then he said to his host, "When you give a lunch or a dinner, do not ask your friends, brothers, relations, and neighbors, for fear that they may repay your courtesy by inviting you in return. No, when you give a party, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. That they cannot pay you back means that you are fortunate, because repayment will be made to you when the virtuous rise again." The Gospel of the Lord. British Prime Minister Winston Churchill is known to be the master of the after-dinner speech. "Despite all the bombing, the shops in our main street are open as usual. Some of them are more open than usual." Great for morale. In parallel with this, Luke's Gospel portrays a whole group of Sabbath banquets that Jesus attended. We get to see how he used to his many after-dinner remarks to portray various aspects of his gospel. Someone has written a book on these called Eating Your Way Through the Gospel with Luke. Jesus is very good at this type of thing, and actually he was at home with citizens of all classes, including the Jewish leaders who killed him. Through this means, Jesus put his gospel before people who would never attend his public teaching events. There were very strict rules. No work whatever could be done on the Sabbath. And this included cooking dinner. So each Friday, one member of each circle of friends would prepare a large dinner. And a crowd of family, friends, and invited guests would turn up on the Sabbath and spend a lot of time eating it. Perhaps there was a roster system. Different families took this in turns to do the next Sabbath meal. These meals had to cater for more than family members. Important people had to be invited. Whatever Sabbath group you belonged to determined your social status within that community. An important guest could be expected to be asked to give an after-dinner talk. And this is the background and the social history of what went on in today's gospel story by Luke. And Jesus preached his gospel to his enemies in this way. So here is first of all, a light-hearted parable that corrects a silent but selfish big noting activity that just about every Sabbath guest was quietly practicing. It's a kind of verbal cartoon. Cartoonists begin by their work by noting some stupid, eccentric behaviour or sayings many people carry out. Emile Mercier was a great cartoonist for us Australians. He was French. Politicians and their stupid and exaggerated sayings are a prime target for cartoonists. We like to laugh at them. So let's look at this shrewd seating cartoon. Seat at the right hand at the top of the table was traditionally the place of honour for the special invited guest. Jesus sat there this time. As Jesus' Last Supper, Judas was placed there and Peter demoted to the bottom of the table. The nearby seats were, by custom, allocated to others of importance. There'd been a race for them, and everyone wanted an important seat. So no one had noticed this. Everyone did it. What Jesus is advocating is the exact opposite to this, and to leave the way open for a promotion that brought with it a public affirmation of your value. Everyone got well fed at these events. Really didn't matter where you sat. But Jesus suggested this one-upmanship brought a gentle and minor reward. And this happened with all good humour. A suitable outcome to accompany a Sabbath banquet. Don't dominate, be shrewd in your seating. Next, Jesus has a second story, which is a bit of a bombshell for his fellow diners. He suggests inviting a list of untouchables to this very uppish Sabbath banquet. And he links this improbable invitation to a particular belief of the Pharisees, whose doctrines were espoused by his host. And this was a kind of pat on the head for him. For they and Jesus both believed in the resurrection of the dead and the reward together of these people in heaven. Some of the early books of the Bible have given the impression that all kinds of sickness and diseases were a punishment from God for secret sins. If you pickle your liver with alcohol, you end up with a disease, which you deserve to get. Even Jesus' apostles believed this. In John 9:1-3, Jesus was asked whether a man born blind from birth, whom they met by the wayside, had sinned, or did his parents sin for him to have been born blind? For them, it was obvious God was punishing someone. But Jesus denied both of these suggestions. Indeed, we hear, neither he nor his parents sinned. Jesus answered, he was born blind so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Jesus smeared his eyes with mud, told him to wash it off in the Jerusalem water reservoir, the pool of Siloam. He did this and he was cured. Then he ran a confrontation with Jesus' enemies, who decreed that he was a sinner to be born blind from birth. This whole chapter shows how intransigent Jesus' enemies were. He was born blind, so sin had to be involved. Jesus used this cure to prove just the opposite. The young man was excommunicated by the Jewish elders. He joined Jesus' disciples at Jesus' invitation. Evangelist John gives us this whole chapter to emphasize we should spare no effort to heal blind people. When Jesus healed him, he told him, everyone who is not blinded by biblical blindness, that Jesus was truly God's Messiah. Care and, if possible, cure of the blind is a work of Christian mercy. That's what he should be about. We haven't done enough of this yet, and it's been the same some time. But here Jesus proclaims that he would be a very good way of celebrating the Sabbath if instead of playing grab the best chair, this Sabbath observing group would do better to give much prized seats in their banquet to the blind people and to the rest of them as important guests, to extend the joy of the Sabbath to them. Ditto for the sick and the lame. Jesus himself was spending a lot of his time curing these people miraculously. Jesus himself, this was to demonstrate the joy of the gospel and to fulfill the words of prophet Isaiah, saying that curing the blind and other religious outcasts was to be a sign that the Messiah was coming among his people. Because of the first of Jesus' interventions, this was just not going to happen here. But if they had done the spiritual preparation exhorted by John the Baptist, Jesus' precursor, there was just a chance that they might do the impossible and to do as Jesus suggested and bring these outcasts to their Sabbath table as honoured guests. How extensive is our care for the blind and crippled and the lame in the Catholic Church? Might include the old. I'm one of them.
Cheers for everyone.
Happy Father's Day to everyone. Churchill's leadership helped win the Second World War. Then he was voted out. But the National Free Service for the Sick was voted in. We have the same thing with Medicare. Great idea. We have it too. What about the Hebrews? We think they were... Actually, the apostles mentioned a whole group of priests who joined the Christian faith. But they became disillusioned. They began to look back on the way they were treated with great honour in the temple. The temple was still standing. And we don't know who they are, but we think they could be the Jewish people who were expelled from Rome by the Emperor Claudius because they were fighting about someone called Crestus, the stupid one. Deliberate misspelling of Christus, the anointed one. And they had got out of Rome, left their two-story houses and two chariot families behind, but now they were working as underpaid wharf labourers at Ostia, the seaport of Rome. Very little money, much hard work, loss of status. And they became very disillusioned. Maybe we should go back to the temple and do the Day of Atonement ceremony. Hebrews was called in to increase the enthusiasm for their faith, and is the only person in the New Testament that calls Jesus Christ the priest and points out that his death on the cross was a sacrifice that replaced the Day of Atonement ceremony in the Jewish temple. So they should continue in their faith and have more confidence in it. We need the new evangelization in the Catholic Church to do the same today.